Hey, this is Justin with Define Audio Video.
Tony.
Car edition. Oh, who was that? Who was that?
Tony.
The guy that's been off for 2 days.
I don't know a Tony. Do we know a Tony? I don't think we know a Tony. Pretty sure we don't know a Tony. I don't know. But he's in the car, and I suppose I'll have to make do. It's either a hitchhiker or somebody.
He's been on every episode except for...
Except for two, I think. So, anyway, we are discussing today a couple things. A couple things to cover. We have artificial intelligence, and then Colby kind of touched that on a little bit yesterday. That was actually a really awesome security podcast yesterday. It just was, or Monday, I would say. That was yesterday. All day long. Yeah. So, awesome podcast with Colby. Just so informative, and just that was an unscripted thing, by the way. Like, no notes, no key discussion. Both of us were bored to tears driving home and trying to figure out what to do and all the things to do and all that good stuff. So it just went so well. You know, Colby has a natural flow to him just because he is an expert and an expert at what he does. So just really, really knowledgeable. Can't wait to have him back again on there. We got, again, lots of questions to field from that I got to send over to Colby because that's what I do. And today we're going to talk about AI technology, and augmented reality, virtual reality, whether you can live without it or live with it. In my humble opinion, I can typically, let's just cover just two completely different things. One of them ties into the other, but let's talk about AI for a minute. So Tony is actually going to be at Comic Palooza. He's booth 1932. I did get the date wrong for whatever reason, but Tony, what is the date for that again?
It's going to be May 24th, 25th, and 26th. That's Memorial Day weekend.
Memorial Day weekend. T-Bone will be at Comic Palooza drawing and doing all the drawing things. I will also try to make a guest appearance and sell some of my
art. We'll be doing all the stick drawing things.
I will be selling my artwork that's not appreciated, apparently, with all the things. No, I can't draw. I really can't. Storyboard, write stories all day long, but drawing, it's not my jam. Wish I could, though. So, I will be there to annoy Tony, and for moral and sanity support, or insanity support.
So that I can get away from the booth every once in a while.
So he can get away from the booth every once in a while, and I can pretend to be an artist. It'll be amazing, and all the things. So, a new category in Comic Palooza this year. I think this is the first year?
Maybe the second year.
Okay, so I know this kind of stuff was kind of popping up toward the end of 2021. Didn't really catch fire until 2022. And then now it's just everywhere. You cannot look at your phone. You can't look at advertisements without seeing all kinds of things, pictures drawn and versions of people drawn virtually through AI. So this has kind of crept into your world in a weird way.
Unfortunately, it has.
So, yeah, as I stated before, this is actually a very heated discussion and subject for most artists in general, because the way artificial intelligence works is it's based on an algorithm and data input, meaning you as the end user and all the end users that are all across the country are keep feeding this giant monster that is artificial intelligence, and it gets better every day, does more things every day, learns things every day, and the more you feed it, the more it learns. Whether that's a good thing or not, not quite sure. So this year, there's actually a section at Comic Palooza for artificial intelligence artwork, meaning you can speak things into existence and modify the drawing.
Real artistic talent.
Yes, zero artistic talent. And then you can add shading or add a different position or and that's still kind of buggy. I found I was playing a little bit with this yesterday, and I found the move his arm slightly up to the left was a little on the buggy side. It kept wanting to draw a whole new picture with a whole new character and a whole new thing. And some of these services are better than the others. We're not going to really advertise for the services that are. It's just not something that I enjoy supporting or anything like that. I have a feeling it's going to be a necessary evil regardless of how you're, you know, how you, I don't think you're going to be able to get away from it. I think it's just part of life now. I did play with it on the musician side. I thought it was horrible for the music side of it, so apparently there's not enough data input on that side of it. But T-Bone, why don't you kind of go into your frustrations and your concerns as a commissioned artist and as a signed artist and all that good stuff about this particular topic?
Well, the biggest problem I have is that I've spent years and years developing all these skills to be able to create stuff and to, you know, actually put pen to paper and create something that somebody's never seen before, and, you know, have to actually have a little bit of talent versus somebody that normally would come to me and say, I want blah blah blah, and I would draw it. Now that person can just speak into a computer the same thing and have a computer create it, and then that, you know, that's taking work away from me, which actually takes food off my table.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I mean, you can literally input anything from Mario Brothers eating pizza with Iron Man, you know, in Vietnam War fatigues or whatever. It just, anything you can imagine, you can kind of bring into existence. Or you can take a picture of a celebrity and say, create a business profile pic of this person or whatever, and it can do all the things. But it's kind of scary, you know, if you combine things like that with VFX, it brings in deepfake and different concepts like that. It brings a lot of weird things into play that you may not think about, you know, like, you know, is that actually the president? Is that actually this celebrity? I know Tom Cruise gets deepfaked all the time. I heard a really good AI video or audio recording of Tom Cruise doing a YouTube advertisement, and it 100% was not Tom Cruise. And which brings into that point that you're going to have to protect your own rights as a, you know, as a celebrity figure, I guess, or whatever, in you know, the how many times it's getting faked and things like that. Because there was a even podcasting software now that could listen to your tonality for about 30 minutes and it could mimic your tonality and create something without the uhs and the ahs and the, you know, whatever, and the imperfections that a human being has. And it's just scary. It's interesting. It's scary and it's interesting all in the same thing, you know?
Yeah. So at that point, now you've got, you know, just as you pointed out, you could have it say in a certain voice something that all you had to do was type out. And then now you don't have to contact the person with that voice. All you have to do is just do it.
Mimic it. Yeah, no, and if their rights are not protected or their likeness isn't protected. You know what's interesting about the likeness part is, what is his name? Christopher Plummer. The guy, what is the guy's name that played George McFly? Gispin. Anyway, he played George McFly on Back to the Future 1. And then he did not get the contractual agreement that he wanted during Back to the Future, or to film Back to the Future 2, and then Back to the Future, Crispin Glover. I think is his name. And he did not get the contractual agreement in Back to the Future 2 and 3. And he sued Universal for using his likeness without his permission. And he won. He actually won the lawsuit. And they because they hadn't seen a lawsuit to that degree about that particular thing. And he actually won on Back to the Future 2 and 3 when they actually had to pay him in Back to the Future 3. And for, I think on 3 they offered him another deal to come back to the franchise, and he was so angry. That was kind of dumb. He should have just came back to the franchise. But he got so angry that they used his likeness in part 1 and 2 that he, or 2 and 3 that he decided to know. He decided to not come back to that particular franchise. So very interesting information, very interesting things that are going on in that field. But even more so now that this new stuff, the new AI stuff, and the new VFX stuff, and the new deepfake stuff, that you can face match anybody. You know, and it's getting better and better. And should we be feeding such monster? I don't know. I do feel for guys like Tony that have taken, you know, what, 46 years to create your, you know, to, and I wouldn't even call your craft mastered. I don't think you ever become a master of your craft, you know.
Oh, no, I'm always getting better all the time.
But then some goofball can say, hey, draw me this and this and this and that and make it look like this, and it's created in a matter of 30 seconds. You know, seconds, not even minutes, but it's just seconds. You have 10 different pictures of that.
And the more stuff that's fed into it, the faster it can create it, and the better it can create it. It doesn't need to spend years learning how to do it.
I definitely found that to be true. I played with it on the music side. The music side was awful, and it wasn't good enough to even really play with. But there's several of these sites where you can play with different things and different concepts and different artwork and all of it. And I agree. I would agree with Tony. You know, it's frustrating to see that. You know, it's, I know Billy Corgan, I know, came out in an interview and talked about it a little bit on the music side, where he said the days of just banging on a guitar in your basement and then, oh, that sounds cool, and creating a song are numbered as this particular technology gets better. You know, and he was even, it was even a cause for concern with him, even though he's kind of, he's not really doing a whole lot anymore, but
right,
still.
So the question is, at this point, is when are we not needed then?
Well, right. Yeah. No, I mean,
because, that, I mean, years ago, I got beat out on graphic design doing logos because there was $5logos.com, and why don't you pay me $250 when you go on there, spend $5,
right? Yeah,
and get what's good enough. It may not be necessarily exactly what you want, but you only spend $5 on it, also.
But what I don't understand is who owns the intellectual rights to that. Like, if you sell, if you create, quote unquote, using the term loosely,
yeah, that's where you gotta create the fine print of all of those. They own it. Yeah, they own a portion, or most, or all of it.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, is how do you...
They can do whatever they want.
Monetize and not get slammed for it later as you become popular. And I guess they're just going to be kind of the person in the bushes that waits until you get bigger, and then they, you know, do whatever they're going to do. But yeah, no, to me, it's... I don't know if it's something that's needed or not. It's one of those things where I don't enjoy it. It takes the voice. I didn't enjoy the voice controlled stuff to begin with. You mean the Alexas and the Siris and the Googles and the, all that stuff. I wasn't a big fan of that technology, as we just left a home where we just programmed it. But in that case, it was helping somebody that needed help with that. So, but I haven't been a giant fan of that type, and then when I learned that they're now letting people sell artwork and monetize artwork in that realm, it kind of cheapens it, you know, cheapens artwork, you know, cheapens,
right, for sure,
you know, what you guys do and what you know. Tony's a guy that can literally draw anything, just don't ask him to draw the Predator. there's a story behind that, but yeah, it just, he can draw anything, anywhere, anytime, any size, and make it look like a sticker. You know, it's done so well, and it's one of those things where it's sad. You know, it's just another thing that, to me, it's the, I know this is kind of a silly connection, it's the Guitar Hero effect. You know, it's the, I don't want to learn how to play an instrument, I want to play five buttons, you know, and I want to pretend that I'm on stage, and I, you know, it's it, but they don't want to do the work to get to the show, you know, they just want to,
well,
fantasize,
it's like
about it.
The DJs of the art world and the DJs of the music world, then Why learn to play when you can just play somebody else's shit and make just as much money?
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, correct. Or just be a jukebox the whole night and use their videos and use their stuff and create the atmosphere. And, you know, it just kind of puts people like Daft Punk and Marshmello and guys like that that are doing what you guys do and the artistry behind it. I never really understood the artistry behind it until I kind of started learning through the Wine and Vinyl event and how chaotic it was to set up and you know, beat match and all this, all these other things, especially with vinyl, because it's such a mechanical thing, with pitch shifting and correction and all that, you know, it's just, there's an artistry to it, just like anything else. Yeah, you're using other people's stuff, but there's still, you're blending, you know, you're blending two things that don't belong together, and you're dropping them in the same bucket and making songs out of it. So, and that, you know, there's something to be said for that, but yeah, to me, it cheapens it. It cheapens the artistry behind playing an instrument or picking up a instrument known as a pencil or a pen and being able to create a whole different world and stratosphere just by speaking it to existence. And me, as someone that can't draw and can't take advantage of that artistry, I found it somewhat fascinating because I've always been, I know what I want, but I can't draw it, but I can speak it. However, it's still not right. Even when you try to change little details, that's kind of when it all goes to crap. And I think that's because it's not baked yet. You know, it's still very, very young.
Right. But I mean, and there are people out there that are speaking things into existence art-wise that are amazing pieces of artwork. They're great now. But eventually, the greater the machine becomes, the less the person is needed.
Well, the thing about...
Eventually, at what point does a machine say, I don't even need you to give me input. I'll just create artwork on my own.
Well, the thing about machines is they have to be fed with something. And usually, and it's not what
for now,
you know, for now, you know, what you're talking about is kind of more like an omnipresent godlike thing that,
well,
can,
no, I mean, it's
make
called
its
artificial
own
intelligence.
Yeah.
You know, and eventually, at what point does, you know, the intelligence part completely take over and it just works on its
well,
own?
Well, strangely enough, there's actually a movie about that. Well, Terminator was one of them that was way ahead of its time, but kind of in a weird, creepy way, you know, ahead of its time. And there was an Avengers movie called The Age of Ultron. You know, Ultron was a comic book character. He was created by Iron Man. It still ties into the movie. And they loosely based this movie on that character. It wasn't as gruesome or as intense as the the movie version was, just because they were trying to appeal to younger audiences. But the Ultron, this character was created because the government said, hey, these superpowered people need to have, they need to police themselves. They need to have something to answer to. Very much like the X-Men series. The X-Men series kind of fell into that, where the government, they went against the government, and the Sentinels were created, these robots were created to fight X-Men or extinct X-Men. But it was, again, based on, this is all fantasy stuff, it was based on artificial intelligence. And you got to remember, this stuff was written back in the 80s and 70s. You know, these stories were all written way long time ago, before any of these computers ever existed. You know, and computers back then took up giant rooms, you know, whereas today they don't, you know, you can carry one, you carry one in your pocket every day. So, but this character was created to police the superhuman things, or all humans, and then it, as Tony stated, it got a mind, it created a mind of its own and decided, okay, how do I control a variable? I need to control the variable, and the variable was emotion. The emotion was weakness, and that was an imperfection, and therefore the humans needed to be extinct. Humans need to be wiped out, because it was a fallible variable that could not be predicted because of emotion, and we're going to completely wipe them and the Avengers off the face of the earth, and that's when the war starts and blah blah blah. So, but that was the whole concept of that character. It was a machine that learned how to create a perfect world, and to create a perfect world you have to get rid of imperfection, you know. And he wasn't being mean to human beings, he was just getting rid of imperfection. So went off on a way weird tangent, but that's kind of what he's referring to when he says when he's saying that it learns on its own. You know, it eventually, you won't be needed, the input won't be needed, because it'll learn.
It's going to learn from all the input that's already been fed.
Yep. And I saw an article yesterday that Zuckerberg had said that we are so very close to learning thought algorithm, to where you won't even have to say things or type things. It will learn, the computer input will learn by what you're thinking, by meaning it will sense brain waves or brain activity, which is really wild. And it's just interesting, which bleeds into that next world, which is augmented reality and virtual reality and things like that. I know for whatever weird reason, we've gotten a lot of these questions. A lot of it has to do with people being unsettled about things going on. And, you know, we're desperately trying to stay out of tinfoil hat territory, as Tony and I like to call it. But it's one of those things where I did go play with Apple Vision. I did play with Oculus. I did play with, I think it's X-Ray. I did play with
X-Real,
the Ray-Ban thing. And Ray-Ban thing is really nothing special. That's more of a over-glorified, you can record what you're looking at thing and either broadcast it, but it's not augmented reality in any way, shape, like the others. But that's what Zuckerberg was referring to, is, you know, using Apple Vision or using Oculus. Now, the big complaint thus far with Apple Vision is it does not have AI built into it as of yet, meaning you can't look at, and what I mean by that is you can't look at an object and stare at that object and point and say, research this object. And it doesn't have that type of ability as of yet, which is quite strange. I was lucky enough to actually get to go to the Apple store and play with an Apple Vision Pro. They were not kind enough to indulge me for a little while, and they weren't busy that day too, so I didn't want to tie up I wasn't planning on buying one, don't want to buy one, but I just wanted to try one out before this show, because again, it's something we're getting asked about quite a bit.
don't think it would be allowed in the Apple store. The Android sensors would probably stop me.
Yeah, no, Tony's a very Android person. Do they still say that when you turn them on?
No.
That was...
Mine never did that.
Really?
Never.
A couple of friends of mine, when they turned it on, it would do that. It was this
red
Optimus Prime looking thing in the middle, and it was droid. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, but, so I got to play with it. It is heavy. It is bulky. It makes you feel like an idiot, so to speak. It's cool. The cool factor is awesome. It's a lot like wearing ski goggles or half of a motorcycle helmet. I don't know which one. I would probably more like ski goggles. I could live without it. It's one of those things where it's kind of Minority Report feeling. You know, you can point things and move things and on your screen, whether it be on your phone, your Apple TV, or not Apple TV, your phone, your iPad, or your Mac iOS.
Same type of technology as Lawnmower Man, just better graphics.
Very awesome. So I will say, in comparison to X-Ray and Oculus, the graphics are amazing. It's because they're using micro LED, no LED stuff, and it's just the video is... The overlay is absolutely amazing, or whether you want to do an overlay and not and see things in the background that you're in the room with, or you can do a complete wipeout and just be in that world. There's a lot of case studies right now for people that are using it for work. Is should we be using virtual reality for that extended periods of time? You know, a lot of people have
And that's what I'm confused on, is because I remember growing up my whole life being told, don't sit that close to the TV. Don't sit that close to the computer screen. Yeah. Don't sit there that long. And now we're actually creating devices that puts the screen an inch from your eyeballs.
Yeah, no, from the 3D aspect, it's kind of cool. From a movie aspect, it literally feels like you're in the movie, where you can kind of look around and stuff like that. It's a very odd feeling. I did not get headaches. I was not nauseated. I do have astigmatism. I typically don't get motion sick with things like that. I did not wear it for a long extended period of time. Probably had it for maybe 30 minutes, if that. So I wasn't clocking in 5 to 7 hours. It does have a built-in warning thing. If you go over a certain amount of time, it kind of lets you know, hey, do we need to take a break, blah, blah, blah. But it's also tracking your eye movement. You know, it's tracking eye fatigue, it's tracking eye movement. It will kind of force you to take a break if it does detect something like that. It's pretty cool. Is it $4,000 cool? No. It's not. I kind of agree with some of the other folks. I kind of...
spend $4,000, I'm going to save $6,000 more. Get Kaleidoscape.
Well, I want to... Well, yeah, for sure. I want to see the fifth or sixth generation of it, you know? I think this was a good try. I don't see this as being their end game. They're going to have to make it lighter. They're going to have to make it less bulky. This is coming from someone that lived through the 3D glasses, bring it home fad of projection technology, which for some weird reason has now resurfaced, and I have no freaking clue as to why, but anyway, it has for the 10 movies that are in 3D now. It's just a cool toy. I don't see it as being something that I need or would be a help need if I was trying to use it for Logic Pro or GarageBand or checking email or whatever. I did see my first pair in public. I'm sorry, you look like a moron. You look like you're wearing purple and pink ski goggles with a headset attached to it, you know, and it's just not.
They made it more like a a Star Wars fighter pilot's helmet and you put down the blaster shield. That might
see,
be cool.
And that's, they almost need a helmet thing because I found without the, there is a head strap that's similar to like a 1980s football helmet back when you were, we were wearing in the grade school or whatever, you know, the harness on top of your head. That seemed way more comfortable than just the goggles that didn't go on top of your head. Way more comfortable. I would not advise somebody using it without that. You know, I was the reason I was interested in it is because they have been out for a couple weeks now. The Apple allowed a 2-week period. Trial period where you can come take them back. So that was my second question at the Apple Store is how many units have you seen come back? And not as many as you would think. It's less buyer's remorse, more people wanting to do it on YouTube. You know, more people trying to do an unboxed open box therapy thing on YouTube or whatever. So. And trying to beat everybody to it. And what they do is they load up $4,000, go do it, and then they bring it back in a couple days and get a refund and make. But what's interesting is it's not just you're bringing it in for a refund. It is a like a job interview when you refund it. Like they are asking you no less than 20 questions. Why are you bringing it back? What could we have done to make it better? For you to bring it back, why aren't we keeping it, blah, blah, blah. And if you say something like, well, I was doing a YouTube review, they're not going to give it back, your money back. It's one of those types of things. I don't know if they may still give it back anyway. But I know it is a 2-week trial period. Once the 2-week trial period is up, you cannot return it unless it's damaged or under warranty or whatever. But that just tells me that people are just going to be breaking glasses.
The first hour, if it's too heavy to wear on my
head. Well, and that's why I went investigate it. Well, again, I've had several questions about it. You know, what do you think about it? What's your thought process behind it? As opposed, I was being asked about it in relation to the home theater market. You know, our home theater is going to be obsolete. Where as these Apple Vision things start becoming a normal thing, I still think my answer is no, because they're bulky, they're heavy, they're not comfortable. I would not wear them for 3 hours. I was not a fan of that almost a claustrophobic feeling around your face. Unlike the X-ray part, you know, in comparison to X-ray, Oculus was very similar. You know, when you compare the Oculus, now the Oculus classes are not using the latest and greatest video technology. It's capped at 1080p. It's not 4K like the Apple Vision Pro. To me, that puts it at a disadvantage. However, there are a lot of apps that did not port over to the Apple Vision Pro because they wanted to release it quick. So YouTube didn't jump on board. A lot of the video games didn't jump on board with the Apple Vision Pro. So I know they kind of got kicked in the shin with that because there's not a whole lot of content for it at the moment. And it seems like it's a really expensive gizmo for there not to be a whole lot of content for it.
I think there's just still too much question to it for anybody to really release stuff to it.
Well, I think they wanted a new thing. They wanted a new toy to get out there, which they got, which they did. I think I don't want to say it was an unsuccessful launch. I do know of some interior designer firms that are using it to put people inside of a room. You know, and this is what your room will look like type of thing. And whether you want to spend $4,000 a head to do that, I'm not sure. You know, I don't know if that's an effective way of designing rooms or not. I've never had to design a room like that. No.
It's more like a thing that a sharper image customers would go after.
Very much so. Very much so. I know PlayStation has the VR thing. I want to say that is they tied into the Oculus thing. It just, I remember VR style gaming back when Nintendo tried this with where it was called the Virtual Boy. When you know, it was a little tabletop thing and you put your chin on the strap and it was kind of this world drawn with red lines. And my friend Aaron had rented one. I don't think he ever bought one, but I think he rented one. There was only like three or four games. It was a golf game, which was really bad, and a pilot game, like an airplane spaceship game, which was equally horrible. But that was their attempt at doing it in the 90s or early 80s. And again, this thing felt very heavy, just like that. It was, it wasn't something that I thought I would wear for a long period of time. Here's my thing: I want to see a version 5, 6, 7, or 8. You know, I want to see lightweight glasses that can be turned on or off. I want to see contact lenses that could be have that same type of technology built into it. Whether that's good for your brain or not, probably not. You know that.
Probably not.
You know, or as you and I, as we are sitting in the car right now, a heads-up display for your car. You know, to show you, hey, this person's not paying attention, or this person, the algorithm of the way they're swerving, they're falling asleep at the wheel or whatever, you know, and kind of gives you a heads up warning about certain things that are going on and
well,
around you.
Cars that drive themselves, unless that'd be a problem.
True. Assuming that, you know, they can actually do that. So,
well, you saw the Mustang earlier today when we were driving.
Yeah, the guy looked over at us and raised his hands off the wheel and just stared at us, and I was like, good for you, bro. That's awesome. So, yeah, I don't know if it's a category that I'm going to jump into. I'm not interested at the moment. It doesn't scare me at all.
But just like the X-ray glasses that are really just for viewing stuff, not really doing all the stuff you're talking about. Even those right there, the $400 for those, it's just more than I want to spend on something. It's got to become, in my opinion, more affordable than that.
Yeah, $400. I don't see it being that much cheaper than that. I don't see it going down further than that. But even in when we were wearing Ian's, I want to see a lighter weight, less bulky, heavy on my face or on the bridge of my nose version of it, you know?
Well, I think part of the problem you were having with those is you still have the cord that is connected to something, which is giving you some of that added weight.
Sure.
And if you had the next version past that, which is AirPlay ready.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not having to connect to with a cable, I think you might have some of that weight taken away that you're talking about having a problem with.
I mean, if I was single guy living on the lake and didn't have a TV, that product would be awesome. You know, because who cares if people can come over and watch TV? You know, that type of thing. And I kind of, it's like a Miva device. You know, it's one of those things. And the X-ray thing seemed, as you stated, more, it's less useful, as in you can't really tie your computer. I mean, you can physically hook your computer into it, but it's less, hey, here you are, here's your Apple World, you know, you can make phone calls and things like that. You know, the Apple Vision Pro, you can do FaceTime, you can do, you know, the FaceTime's a little weird. Again, it kind of puts you really close into that world that you don't know if you want to be in or not, and you don't know if you want your kids in or not, you know, and that's the thing, and that goes along with, you know, should we be this connected, you know, and it kind of goes back to, you know, if Mark Zuckerberg is working on technology that can read brain waves where you can record, where you can control things by thinking.
Years and years ago, I forgot what it was called, but they worked on something like that, and it kind of got scrapped.
Interesting. Well, I know there was a year when Ron and I went to CES, and the big thing, let's see, this was probably 2004, 2005, and gesture control had just become a thing where you could kind of Minority Report your television, like kind of like that annoying LG remote thing. But the Jester control thing, you could walk up to it and kind of swipe this or swipe that with all the things and change channels and do this and do that with it by using gestures. The only problem with that is when you scratch your head, your channel may change.
And like my cell phone has the gesture control. I haven't even tried to use it because I'm like,
it's weird.
I've got to hold my phone anyway.
Right.
So.
It's kind of weird. Yeah. No, I know. There was a BMW that we just currently got rid of that had that. Like, if you did this, it would control, turn the volume up. And if you did this, it turn the volume down. So there was lots of stuff that ported over to that in that gesture control. So, so I'm going to put it in the live without it category. I don't think it's something that I need to spend $4,000 on at all. But it's definitely interesting tech. It's fun. I would be more impressed if you came out with a laptop with a touch screen than ski goggles with motion control, in my opinion. But they didn't ask me, and they didn't ask you. Oh, I did hear there was another report that they said it's horrible for drawing. Like, it's like, don't try to use the Apple Pencil with it. And they said it's not baked for that yet. So, again, I think it's still doughy, but it's a heck of a lot of money for something that's half baked, you know. And the coolness factor, I'll give it a 10. The video quality factor, I'll also give it a 10. But do I need it factor? I would say 1, if that,
yeah,
you know.
The necessity of something like that.
Can't see why I would need it. Yeah, I can't see why I would need it, you know.
Now, you did just bring up something that actually did kind of spark my interest.
Sure.
Is the drawing part. Now, if they could make that better and I could put glasses on and I can draw, you know, more like, you know, if maybe there's a pad or something that my hand is drawing on, but it's closer up to my eyes, almost like if I was drawing on paper, then I might be interested in that.
Or here, what about that concept where you're drawing three-dimensional artwork worlds and things, you know, and you know it's coming. I would think it would be cooler to build something more like in a motorcycle helmet, you know, something where you're cruising down the street and you can see your speedometer and you can see, you know, all the things. If somebody's calling you, you can do noise canceling and talk while you're, you know, driving or something like that. To me, that's anything you can do to keep people's hands off of phones while they're trying to operate a vehicle. Even now, we're going to look at this guy. He's even now looking at the left. He's not even looking at the road. Like, he's staring at his phone. And exponentially, there have been more fatalities and car wrecks on the daily from people texting and driving than alcohol or drugs, and that are drug influenced. But the alcohol drug influence part, you can almost time it by the time of day, but this is unpredictable. You know, it's and I don't want self-driving cars. I want people to listen to more podcasts while driving car. While driving cars. So, but yeah, no, I've heard from the artist standpoint, it is not a good fit for artistry. So it's not a good fit for artistry as of yet. But it's one of those things where we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to the, all of it, you know, the community. And that's kind of where we're at. But I live without it 100%. I don't need it. I don't need it. I want my kids definitely don't need it for $4,000. It's in that thing where it's kind of, you put it in a concept bin and go from there, you know, and but it's interesting to see where it would go. But it's definitely the better out of all of them that are out there if they make more apps for it. I think if they jump more in the video game world, they'll be better off. I think that's where their disadvantage is. because Oculus has the jump start with the contracts and all that stuff with the video games and all that. And then, of course, you got, you know, the with the PlayStation Network and all that stuff. So I think in the video game world, the video game is going to be the driving force behind this for sure. Not necessarily the movie world. So, no, I don't think your beloved home theater is going anywhere. I really just don't. You know, again, if you're a single person, then yes, but I don't see somebody, you know, buying four sets of these glasses and watching the same thing in a room because it's just, one, it's weird. So,
yeah. Also, it's not surround sound quality sound yet.
I will say that, correct, it's not. I will say the Vision Pro sounds the best from what I've heard. I didn't really listen to the X-ray thing. I mean, you did, so. No, it's not where that's not where that needs to be for it to be adopted in that world. Somebody had asked me, can you watch this thing while listening to other speakers or your home speakers for surround sound? I don't know the answer to that. I did not ask them that. AirPlay 2 is a very powerful thing. I don't know if it can do it simultaneously while using this as Apple Vision Pro. So, yeah. So that's just kind of where I'm at. But it's neat. I can see a slippery slope bringing things into my children's vision that I don't want to bring into. Not to be, it's kind of an adult thing. There's a creepy factor to it that I just don't like. You know, there's just a creepy factor to it that I don't enjoy. And that's just me. People are different, you know, people have different tastes and they're entitled to all that, but there's a creepy factor to that particular type of technology where it could go slippery slope really fast. And I just don't like it for that reason. I felt the same way that's actually an interesting light bulb moment. Why was Google Glasses so banned and outlawed, but all these other things are okay? That's the other, because don't you remember that when the Google Glasses first came out and then it got shut down immediately?
Now they're actually doing more development on stuff like that.
Right, and now it's okay. You know, that's kind of weird, but, you know, I saw the creepy factors with the Google Glasses. Now,
I mean, that's kind of like, hey, a dude can't go into a girl's bathroom. Oh, but now he identifies as a woman, so now he can.
So I'm not going to go there, but I know on the Ray-Ban version of them, there is a light when you are recording. So that's kind of a mandate thing. When you are recording or broadcasting, there is a light on the front of the glasses that do that. I didn't know about the Google thing, but I thought the Google thing had like lens inserts where it would show you metadata and caller ID and that type of thing. I don't know. I'll have to look up the Google Glasses thing. I just remember it being really controversial when it launched. But now, here we are. Now there's ski goggles that do the same thing. So that's what they remind me of are ski goggles. But yes, to that point is you could walk into a restroom with that. And I think that's why I don't like it. It's the creepy factor of all the things, you know, and that can be brought into with that. And it just, you know, because if I see somebody looking at my kid, recording my kid, I'm going to go punch him in the face. You know, it's just one of those things where you just, there's a creepiness to it that I...
What is that person that has those glasses really looking
at? There's a slippery slope effect, you know, and I think that's what makes me uncomfortable with this particular type of technology. But there's a slippery slope effect with everything. It's just something I can live without. It's something that maybe you can't, you know, maybe the listeners can't live without, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. I just don't enjoy that type of thing. And I didn't get into VR either. I didn't get into the PlayStation world and the Oculus world and in the metaverse, quote unquote, where people are spending hours and hours and hours on end, marrying people and different career paths with people and just all kinds of weird thing. I know you went through pitfalls and things like that with past situations, where people just became addicted to it. And that, I think that's what I'm not afraid of me being addicted to it. I'm afraid of younger generations and households being just so disconnected from reality that it's like that movie Free Guy on crack. You know what I mean? It's just, they're just so consumed with...
Well, there's a perfect example of it. Just watch the movie Ready Player One.
Ready Player One, yeah.
A whole world of people living in virtual
worlds.
Yeah,
looking for this weird key thing that...
Well, it's not even that. Yeah. If you look at the beginning of the movie...
Like, you'd have credits. Yeah.
People, well, no, it's just people are living in virtual worlds. Like, everybody's got these things on their head. And, you know, one person, the weightlifter, one person's a, you know, whatever, you know. The fact that everybody's living in their own little world. At what point do we sit there and say, you know what, I actually got to get out and do something?
Yeah. No, and that's, I think that's the scary part for me, and how I don't like it so much. It's just, I've always been a slippery slope guy, and always looked at the downfall of all the weird things that get passed and things like that, and, you know, what's the end game with it? You know, where are you going with it? What's the trajectory for this? And I can see it being a very creepy, scary world, or all-consumed world. Just, again, look at how many people are on their phones while they're operating an 8,000-pound vehicle right now, you know, and they're around you, and they're taking, not only are they taking, you know, your life into their hands, they're taking their life into their hands, because they're not, the driving became the second thing to do in a vehicle.
Kids staring at their phones, wandering into traffic, trying to catch Pokemon.
Wandering the traffic, trying to catch Pokemon. I mean, you've experienced this with your 12-year-old. You put timers on his stuff to where it, you know, kind of shuts down. And
yeah, because otherwise, like, he'll just stay on it forever.
Yeah.
Where, like, I can only imagine if he was to put on something like that, could, like, be in a whole another world. I'd probably... literally never get him off of it.
Well, and that's where I'm on the... I think that's where I see the downfall with it, is I see people are too consumed by connectivity to begin with. Colby and I were talking about this yesterday. Colby and I were, you know, about, you know, when the AT&T cell tower went down and how disconnected everybody was, but also how euphoric it felt to just be disconnected, you know, just to be where you didn't have things tracking you. You didn't have... apps looking, advertising for you and are to you because of what you talked about or what you talk about, you know, just to be 100% disconnected. And I think the further down this consumption we become, I think it just turns into a more unhealthy environment for especially our young people, you know, our young kids, you know, because you think about it, we didn't grow up with this stuff. So it's one of those things, we can live with it or live without it. You know, we don't need it. You know, and but as the kids become very, you know, there are addiction patterns where people have studied them with video games. You know, people are addicted to video games. You know, it's just, it's becomes this crazy habit that if you aren't connected to that outside world, that you feel like you're men. You saw that with, you know, one of your spouses, you know, and that because they became just so consumed with all the things, and their answer was, well, it's just a game. But it's really, is it? You know, And that's the thing. And I think that's the thing that bothers me with the virtual thing, the virtual glasses. Yeah, it just
creates. Somebody starts to live in a game, they less game like it is.
Right. You know, and we saw, you know, I remember when there was an Xbox game called Fable. Good grief. This was 100 years ago. And
that game is still around.
It probably. I don't know if it's a MMORPG now or in it something massive multiplayer online thing. I don't know. I do know that there were several. It was kind of like that. The one of those books that you open where you pick a path and it takes you on different things, and the more evil choices you make, the more demon-like you look, and, you know, as you get into fights, you start scarring and limping and, you know, things like that if you get injured. You know, so it was, I remember that game was controversial back in the day, you know, just because people thought, oh, this is too much freedom and too much, you know, and then, you know, you had the hot coffee incident from Grand Theft Auto, you know, which took it in a very different direction. And I just, to me, I think there's a lot of the cons outweigh the pros with this particular technology, and I don't see the use for it as of right now. And, you know, whether you can use it for the medical industry while doing surgeries and whatnot, because you can see kind of an X-ray thing, you know, I can see it being useful. Maybe that already exists. I don't know. I know it does in television shows and things, but I don't know. But I just, in everyday life, to me, I see too many people. You want to know the zombie apocalypse, you're living in it. You know, it just, there's... I just don't feel like I need another level of being connected to something. And not only connected to something, be consumed by it. You know, meaning I can't see anything but that, you know. But for movies, I would see it. I would think it's cool. You know, movies are interesting and be a cool thing. But, you know, I think the video game creates a whole other factor that's just weird to me. So I'm going to stamp it as right now, live without it until I see something useful out of it. You know, it just, I don't know.
It's got to get better before I can.
Well, it's got to get smaller, too. It's got to get better. It's got to get smaller. It's got to get sleeker. It's got to work better. Right now, there's bugs in it. You know, there's a lot of buggy things that are going on with it. And that's the global report. It even bugged out when I was test driving it, you know, where he had to reboot it, you know. So it's just, it's death by demo. You know, it's fun to see other people that go through that as well. So, you know, it's just one of those things where I'm a live without it guy. You know, the AI stuff crossing back into the artwork category, I find it frustrating for people like you that actually have the talent and skill set that can do that. And again, it's the Guitar Hero effect. You know, it's the, I'm going to be a rock star and hit four buttons. No, well, now it's, I'm going to be an artist and speak. You know, my thing is somebody, how does it play into somebody with an artistic brain like you have?
Well, as far as that goes, I can put pen to paper and draw you something faster than I, and more accurately than I can describe something.
Right.
So,
and most of the time when your computer doesn't boot up, you want to throw it against the wall.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's not even that. It's just, give me a pen and a piece of paper, I'll draw it for you. Don't make me sit there and try and paint a picture for you.
Yeah, well, it's
not. Although, you know, I mean, originally, they, you know.
Do you think it's something you're going to adopt at some point or play with at some point? Or you have played with it?
Unfortunately, I think I don't even forced to do it because, you know, people are already pulling shit out of their ass and getting paid more than me that's sitting there actually doing the hard work.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to eventually become lazy like everybody else.
Yeah. All right.
Because why work hard when somebody else is going to, you know, not have to do anything except speak like we are now.
Right.
And then there's the picture.
Right. Yeah, no.
It's just another avenue for the American, or not American, for the human race to become lazier.
Right. You don't have to put the work in. Wally World, Wally, you know, the movie Wally, just, you know, it's just...
If you create something for people to become lazy, they will adopt it.
I don't see the artistic beauty in it. I don't see the... I mean, yeah, it's cool to look at, but I don't see, man, somebody's hands created that. Even though the mind is a beautiful thing, you know, and it's just, I don't see it as being something.
I think generations coming up right now don't care anything about did human hands have any part of it.
Right. Yeah, no, there was a interview with Kirk Hammett from Metallica where somebody had asked him about future Guitar Heroes, you know, and he said, you know, the days of the gunslingers are dwindling, you know, because they're getting older, you know, Kirk Hammett, you got Slash, Eddie Van Halen just passed away, you know, all these guys, they're all getting older, and there's not a lot of up and coming, there's lots of little kids you see on YouTube that are, you know, store-taught musicians, and
at what point do they sit there and say, oh, I can just speak it into existence, a computer do it for me?
Yep.
Dude, I'll just do that instead of
having... Well, you have the e-mastering software. I just saw an advertisement for that. You've got a software you can drop a song in, and it's mastered.
That was what I was telling you about earlier today, which is why you got that ad on your phone.
Yeah, yeah. It's called
e-master. And instead of somebody like me that went to school to learn how to mix and master, you won't need me anymore because the computer has figured out how to do it for you.
There's also something by another company called Data Color that does that for televisions. It used to be called Spider Pro by a company called Data Color, and you hang this thing on the front of your television, and it gets you about 89-90% there. You know, for the most part, for all intent and purpose, it gets everybody, you know, happy with their TV purchase, but in most cases, not happy with their TV purchase. But in most cases, not what a full calibrator can do. But you know, but then again, you know, you're paying a calibration guy $500-$600. You know, you buy a Spider Pro for $200, you can do every TV in your house. So
people are also becoming more and more happy with mediocrity, making mediocrity the new amazing.
Mediocrity, I see that. It's we've seen that in the music industry. We've seen it how people watch their content, as we discussed in this versus stream. It's we see it every day. You know, I get it. But so AI, love it or hate it, write in, tell us about it. What do you think? You know, where do you think it's going? I see it to be a very spooky place for the art world. I see it to be a spooky place for the music world, just not yet. It's just, again, you would think that art would need a lot more data, but I guess there's enough pictures out there that it can pull from, because it's not actually drawing things. It's actually going and finding pictures and modifying those things.
But you can feed it in. Like, you can feed an image of yourself and say, now make me into this.
Right.
Make me look like this and this.
Make me Conan the Barbarian. You know, make me a firefighter. Make me a whatever, you know. But, yeah. No, absolutely. Let us know. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you think of the VR world. Again, it's not for me. Doesn't mean it's not for you. You know, I would say explore it. Go to the Apple Store. They're more than happy to kind of demo that stuff for you. And go check out the Oculus. And go check out the VR headset. And go check out X-Ray or whatever. You know, X-Ray I thought was the coolest out of all of them, mainly because it was the most affordable out of all of them. But it seemed the lightest weight out of all of them. So, but... I can live without it. Tony says he can live without it. Comic Palooza, May
24th, 25th, and 26th.
That date. Booth 1932, Pearl Harbor Booth. 1932, fine T-Bone, T-Dog there. That was Friday, Saturday, Sunday on Memorial Day weekend. If you don't have anything to do and you find yourself bored, then come and see us at Comic Palooza. We'd love to see you. That being said, Friday is our home theater series launch. So we have got lots of questions. When are you guys getting into home theater? I know that's what you guys do. We see pictures and videos and all that stuff. And yes to all the things. However, it is not something I can cover in one show. It's just too big of a topic to talk about. There's so many different directions that topic can go in. So I think it's going to have to be like a home theater series. You know, maybe we'll stick to one day a week where we talk about, you know, all the things that's home theater, all the concepts, all the arguments that is home theater, that are home theater. But that's coming up on Friday. And then, of course, we'll have our weekend adventure recap of all the things. And if you did not listen to yesterday's podcast, it was absolutely amazing with Colby. It was so cool to have him on board and try to keep up with him and him keep up with us. You know, Tony and I are in the car right this second and driving down the freeway. And no, I'm not holding my phone. Thank you very much. It is actually not in my hand. So you're welcome. And all the people around me, you're welcome. So, lots of fun stuff coming up. Tony, today we broke 300. 300 listeners in 11 days, I think is where we're at. Pretty awesome. Mind blown. Mind just awesome experiment. Again, this was kind of our secondary experiment after the whole wine and vinyl thing. And we have gotten a few questions about the wine and vinyl. We're not sure. We don't know yet. We're just kind of surfing the waves that we surf. And whatever looks interesting, that's the lane we jump into. This looked interesting. So, and he and I had been talking about it for a while, so we jumped into it. So that's why we're here. So, hi. And so far, the results have been just crazy. Yeah, I cannot say that enough. Absolutely nuts. So, if you want to weigh in on this particular topic, please do. Please come in and you want to talk to us and you want to interview with us and things like that. Or if you're an expert in this particular VR topic, jump on board. And we'd love to have an opinion that's different. We love that because it makes for fun discussion. With that being said, Mr. Gray did not join us for this podcast. Harry Potter is not here. So, I think that's a show, Tone, unless you got something else.
No, I think we've covered it.
I think we've beat it to death in a somewhat PG-13 way. Which was very hard to do, by the way. It's just a very sad, heated topic at the moment that just lots of people are losing work because of it. So think about that. Think about that next time you need something. You know, look for an artist. Look for somebody that can do it. Look for somebody that can draw it. If you're looking for an awesome gift for somebody, find somebody like Tony, or just find Tony. He's right here, right next to me, like literally right here. Find somebody like him that can do all that stuff. He's also at another event April
13th.
He's
3 to 5.
Doing what? Tell us about that.
We're calling it Paint and Sip, and it's where we will be doing paintings on, you'll have a choice of either a wine glass or a wine bottle.
A bottle.
And with that, what's cool is you get, for the slots are starting out at $50 each, and that gets you a glass. It also gets you your first glass of wine, a charcuterie tray,
your spot in the event. So.
And how much was it?
It's starting out at $50.
$50. Okay, so $50 gets you all the things. I'll be there to help Tony show you how to do it. I got to show Tony how to do it. No, I'm actually probably won't be there. what day is that? Friday or Saturday?
It's going to be a Saturday.
Saturday, okay. Why does she keep stealing you on Saturday? That's the thing.
She keeps stealing me during the week.
That's true. Well, most people are free on Saturday, too. So Saturday, 3 to 5, April 13th. And I will be doing absolutely nothing but being annoying as usual and my spirited self. So, that's a cast. I'm Justin.
And I'm Tony.
And I'm Tony.
No, you're not. I'm Tony.
Oh, he's Tony. And I'm Justin. And that's a podcast. You guys have a great day. Hopefully you're not sitting in this traffic like we are. And we'll see you when we see you.